Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Okay, you guys.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
I almost want to keep that.
Damn it, you should. It's like mumblecore, right?
It's
you just keep
totally
the thing
opening
in.
With you coughing. Yeah. I'm keeping it. Okay. You guys, that was the sound.
It's as real as it gets.
That's super real. The opening is you coughing. Mm-hmm. You are Dave Holmes.
Yeah, I am. Hello.
And you're generous enough to come back for a second helping of this.
The second of, I mean, you have so few left.
I know.
I love it. Anytime.
No, I'm psyched that you wanted to come back. And you got an extra weird one.
I sure did.
And it's a part one. Well, first, let me go ahead and say it is. The original air date was December 7th, 1991,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And it is called Home for Christmas,
sure.
Part 1.
Yeah. I feel like it was maybe, somebody in the writer's room, like on the way to work, heard Another Day in Paradise by Phil Collins, which was popular right around this time,
totally.
Right? And was like,
yeah.
You know what, we have not addressed the homeless problem
yes.
in this show yet.
Yes.
How can we do it?
That is hilarious and probably
true. Yeah.
And also, I weirdly, because you know how this came up with my friend Millie when we were talking about 80s video, how a lot of people in 80s music videos dress like hobos. That was
that's
one
true.
Of the hobos things. Like Phil Collins was one.
Sure.
I feel like there were multiple. That seemed to be a thing, I guess, because it's Reagan years that
yeah.
people were like, oh.
Yep.
People
well, just
are
after.
Poor. Like,
yeah.
let's sing about them and dress yeah. as them when we're in our videos.
Yeah. There was, well, I mean, Dexy's Midnight Runners is way before.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They weren't really hobos.
Right, right.
But they might as
they
well have
like
been
hobos.
They were
like stylish hobos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that, there was an Eben Ozen video with Imogene Coca as a bag lady.
As a
I
bag
believe
lady.
It was called Bag Lady.
Right, right.
Sure.
And then, of course, there were numerous, I mean, like, I feel like John Cougar Mellencamp
yep.
did a lot of anthems for, like, the downtrodden, and I
oh,
feel
sure.
like he might have been hoboing it in some of them.
For you and me,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I just remember the black man in a black house or
yeah.
whatever.
Right.
It wasn't a black house, but yeah, there's one and there's a video and he's got like cloudy eyes and he just looks right into the camera.
Right. Right.
Like for a little too long.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's creepy. But
yeah.
I think you're Another Day in Paradise. Like that seems perfect for
oh,
one
for
of
sure.
these like 55-year-old
right
white writers
yep.
driving in, listening mm-hmm. to that going like, you guys,
yep.
I got an idea
yeah.
for a two-parter.
It's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Zach falls in love with a homeless girl.
Well, yeah, so that leads us into you
oh,
giving...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I
go
jumped
ahead.
Ahead.
No. Go ahead
oh,
and give
heavens.
a brief synopsis, and then we'll get
well,
right into it.
Okay, I guess what happens is Zach meets and immediately either falls in love with or like has this weird sociopathic like need to conquer.
Of course.
Which I guess is sort of his thing.
Yeah.
This girl, this sort of frail, skinny, porcelain girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That he meets at the mall and runs right into, and she's like, ow!
Right.
Like, more than the situation warrants. And she drops her apple, which is her lunch.
Yes.
Which, like, is a pretty sensible lunch, to be honest with
right.
you.
Right.
But he's like, hey, like that's like that's an inadequate lunch or whatever.
Right.
Although he's robust, so he eats more. And then he immediately falls in love with her, and he kind of chases her down.
Right.
In the meantime, there is also this homeless man mm-hmm. who's hanging out in the mall mm-hmm. where everybody has a job because it's Christmas and they need money for gifts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's not only homeless, he's like starving, except he's not at all skinny.
Yeah.
And so he's like woozy, and like every time you see him, he's like holding onto a counter for strength or whatever. Yeah. And then he is. And then he passes out. I'm going into detail here. The long and the short of it is he falls in love with a girl who later turns out to be homeless.
Right.
And so now let's get into the details.
Yes.
Which okay, it starts off like right away with shitty writing that I love.
Yes.
Where like they're at Zach's house, which I don't really remember having seen ever. It's kind of just a generic living room.
Right. So far we've only seen Zach's room.
Right.
Not, I guess, the living room
yeah.
is what this is. Yeah.
And I'm not even really familiar with Zach's mom.
She's only in a handful of episodes.
Yeah. I think that was the first time I'd ever laid eyes on her. Okay. But anyway, they all show up. And it's always the group, and it's only the group.
Yes.
It's never, like, nobody ever makes another friend.
No extra friends.
No, yeah. There's, like...
I love the idea of that, too, that, like, maybe somebody at school or something is like, hey, how's it going? And they're just like, I'm good. I got enough friends.
Full. I'm good. yeah, like, I've lived, when I lived in New York, right around the time of Friends, I had, like, a small group of, like, six friends, and we were always together.
Right.
But, like, when we'd go out, there would always be, like, a seventh and an eighth.
Sure.
Who sort of were, like,
other,
in the orbit.
They knew other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so, but what I love is that they're talking about getting jobs to get money for gifts, and it's like, I got a job at a men's store. I got a job at a photo store. I'm going to work at the hospital.
Yes.
It's like, we don't want to take a moment and say, like, oh, I got a job at Larson's. Oh, you mean the men's store?
Yes,
whatever,
of course.
Like, to behave as though these people live in a community that's recognizable.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm talking to you.
Yeah, they never name anything.
Yeah, where did I get this hat? Oh, I got it at a hat store
at
or
a
whatever.
Hat store.
Like, I'd be like, oh, I got it at the lids thing at the Beverly Center.
Yeah,
that's not
right.
true. But like, but if I was going to stop and
yes.
get a coffee on the way here, I wouldn't be like, I got this from a coffee shop. I'd say I went to the coffee bean on the way here.
Right.
Or whatever.
Totally.
Like, it's
completely.
There. Yeah, I stopped at Ralph's and I got us some popcorn.
Yes.
Or whatever.
I agree. Yeah, it's always super nondescript.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is weird, especially how Kelly goes, a men's store.
A men's store.
Like, you just be like, yeah, I work at Men's Warehouse.
Yeah.
That's where I work.
Or something.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you can't use, like, a direct name or whatever.
You
like
do
you can make something
yeah.
up. Like, you're a fucking writer.
Yeah.
You get paid.
I
probably
totally
a lot of money.
Agree with you.
Make some shit up.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what's his nuts? Slater gets a job gift wrapping.
Yes.
Which apparently any moron could get because he's not very good at gift wrapping.
Yeah.
He immediately hands this package to a woman who is no more than 40.
Right.
And says, I hope your daughter enjoys the champagne glasses.
Of course.
Like, her daughter would be
Wait,
age.
Hold on. I have to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, only because you're skipping over one of my favorite parts is
yeah.
when they're still at Zach's house, because Zach's mom's there and everybody's
yeah.
talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
I think
she
I know
goes,
where you're going with this.
He's like, yeah, I got a job gift wrapping. And Zach's mom is like, are you good at that? Or can you gift wrap? And he goes, in the weirdest sexual tone,
right.
goes, Mrs. M, I'm good at everything I do.
I'm good at everything I do. And then, like, looks at her and holds the look
yes.
for a minute.
It's very sexual. And
yeah.
so she's like, okay. And then Zach backs it up with, not according to the girls I know.
Yeah. So, like, taking the second of the two meanings
yeah.
and running with the second of the two
While
meanings.
His mom.
About a comment that was directed at his mother.
Yes.
His
so
own
it's like
mother.
A sexual comment directed at his mom.
Right.
Weird, number one. And number
Super
two.
Weird.
Zach backs it up, backs up the sexual
yeah.
nature of it while their mom is standing there. I mean,
right
his
there.
Mom, it's basically being like, I heard you ain't good at fucking Slater.
Yeah.
Like, his mom's right
yeah, but
there.
That's it. That's it right there. Like, that in a nutshell is the problem with this show, where it's like, it is inappropriately sexual, but with plausible deniability.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
things that, like, if you... That are, like, obviously meant to be sexual, but then if you think of them as sexual, then you start to feel bad about
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, it's like, it's on you that you
right.
thought that was sexual. When
but
it's
it
like,
clearly was.
Right.
And
yeah,
you
yeah.
made me, you put that thought in my head.
Yes.
Don't fuck with
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The way he says it to Zach's mom is so
It's really
creepy.
Icky. It's
I mean, he is
icky.
Hitting on Zach's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's
so
an attractive woman. But then, yeah, so then the woman who hands him a thing of champagne flutes to be wrapped is no older than Zach's mother.
Right.
So this person who would be receiving the champagne flutes is a high school student. Which is weird. Totally right. So he hands it to her.
Yes, because he goes, because he's at the mall and the lady, he hands it to her. I'm totally interrupting you.
No.
Because he says, he goes, I hope your daughter enjoys the champagne glasses. You're right. It's like, I hope your teenage daughter enjoys
the champagne glasses. So he hands it to her, which she grabs it by the sides and all the glasses spill right out. So let's talk about that. Did he put them in a box that didn't have a bottom?
Yeah.
Are they very heavy champagne glasses? Was the bottom of the champagne flutes box not attached? Is this woman not smart enough to know that anything, especially something that's fragile, should be held from the bottom? There are a lot of things going
on
here, none of which are Slater's problem.
I totally agree with you.
I'm the first to blame Slater.
Yes, I fully agree with you. Like, is this a trick box?
What's going on?
Yeah, because even if you don't, it is recommended that you tape the edges of the boxes before you wrap them. But even if you don't, unless it's a gag box, it's not just going to fly open.
How many fucking champagne glasses are in there? They sell them in like groups of four. So that's four and champagne flutes. Like, of all of the glasses, are the daintiest.
Yes,
they're the lightest and the daintiest. If they were like beer steins or whatever, like expensive ceramic beer steins, then I would understand it. They could be really heavy, but these are, and it's just a poorly constructed joke. And we're like 11 seconds into the episode.
Yeah. And
there are already
right
like so many fucking things that are wrong.
It's also immediate. It's not even like, she doesn't take it and shake them. Like, she, as soon as she grasps them, it's like,
she's held
to the ground.
For a quarter of a second. And they fall out.
Totally. No, it's so terrible. Cartoonish.
Terrible.
And so of course she's like, how dare you? You suck at rapping or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's like, take, my money. I'll pay for it. And then that's when he says, because Zach comes up and is like, yo, good job, dummy.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, Slater goes, I know, I'm getting paid $4 an hour.
Is it like a waitress job where he works on tips?
Exactly. It's like, unless you're working on tips, that's not legal because even in 91 is 91.
I might mall jobs before then and they were like, it was twice that.
I worked at the mall in high school and minimum wage was at least like $5.50 or something.
Yeah, I think it was 7 or 8.
Yeah, I mean, I know it depends on the state, but there's no way at the time.
In California,
the minimum wage was not $4 an hour. That's from like the 20s.
Please. Although sometimes, I will say the gift wrapping areas are like run by charities or something like that.
Oh, okay. It's not like an actual.
Maybe it was the hospital that was running it or something. It's the outreach program at
it's
the
like
hospital.
Idiocracy, St. God's Hospital.
For the charity.
Yeah.
What?
Did
St. God's?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
That was my favorite thing in Idiocracy.
Okay, so then, he runs into this Laura girl.
Yeah, and when you say runs into,
he physically runs into her. Right.
Like hard.
They bump shoulders in a way that, it seems to be painful for her.
He, body checks her.
She's starving, so, she might have brittle bones. I don't know what's going on. Her apple falls to the ground, although it's in a bag, so she can still eat it.
Yeah.
They've thought that one through completely.
Yeah.
she's like, that's my lunch. He goes, that's lunch? And then he tries to buy her lunch.
My favorite is he goes, because when he goes, is that's your lunch, to hide her homelessness, she's like, oh, I'm on a diet. And then he gives her like the weirdest line, because he's like, looks her up and down, like, you're on a diet?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you need to be on one to me, which is such a gross pickup line.
It's super gross.
You're not fat? Like, thank you? Like, that's not a cool pickup line.
You don't need
at
to
all.
Change for me, this person you just met. that's kind of weird.
And then she runs off. She like literally runs
off. She really runs off. So she's got something to hide.
Yeah.
Screech has this like Betsy Wetsy type of doll.
Yeah.
Totally unwrapped.
Right.
By the way,
he's
as though he found it in a dumpster because it's kind of filthy.
No, you're totally right. It's not in a box or
messy
anything.
Hair. It's got a full head of messy hair.
Yeah. He says it's a squeeze and squirt doll, which I guess he got for those hospital kids, but you're right. It's
squeeze
like.
Squeeze and squirt.
Squeeze and squirt, which is super gross.
It's disgusting. You would never call
it so a porn site, too.
Yeah.
Like squeezeandsquirt.com. You got to pay for a membership to that.
Fuck. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
But you're right. It's not. He's like, I got this for the kids in the hospital, I guess, but it's not in a box. It is exactly like he took it out of a dumpster or something.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't even have like
disgusting.
The clothes that come on a doll.
No, it's
in its drawers.
It's a filthy doll.
Not wearing a dress or whatever that a Cabbage Patch Kid would be wearing.
Yeah, found it in the gutter.
Yeah,
and he's going to give it to some sick kids at the hospital. And but then it goes to the bathroom like all in just a furious torrent of doll piss.
Okay, yeah,
just
that's
everywhere.
He sits it on his lap.
Yeah.
And it starts, I guess, peeing on him, right?
Yeah.
But it never stops.
It never stops.
It, to where it's
and it's like, and it's like you can see that the stream is like the size of a silver dollar.
Oh yeah, it's like a hose. It's like somebody turned on a hose, and it's also it does more than that doll could hold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It keeps coming where you're like, there's not enough space in that doll for that much water.
There is a
Yes.
J.D. Riznar. You know him? He's one of the Channel 101 guys with Dan Harmon. He did Public School, which is this storytelling show that I did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he...
Oh, I've done show, yeah.
Yeah. It's... he, I guess, has, like, his urethra hole or whatever, and his penis was very small, so he had to have surgery to make it bigger.
That but sounds now like it's the too worst big. Thing ever.
It sounds like... Yeah, it's too big. No, actually, the worst thing ever is him telling this story.
Right, okay.
But so and now it's just this gigantic... I guess his dick hole is gigantic. So he told a big story about that, and I was like, I couldn't deal with it, and now it's like, and now I don't like him. I mean, I'm sure he's lovely, but every time I see him or see his name, I think that's about a giant dick hole.
Okay, okay.
And it bothers me, and so now that I feel like maybe was the problem with the doll.
Okay, I know you don't think you can say that and just move right on and not think I have questions, because I have questions.
Well, if you have questions, I can't answer them. Because
you
I
saw the story!
I did see the story, but I really did manage to block most of it out.
Well, I guess I'm curious, how can... Pee is liquid.
Right.
How can you even have a too small hole?
Like, it's going to find a way out, right? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe
it's
liquid. I don't know. It was dangerously small. I don't know. You're asking
the
wrong guy. I will say that I came in a little bit late to the story because I was telling my own story and I was nervous and I went to the bathroom myself.
With your normal size pee hole.
With my normal size dick hole.
So wait, he had it in
April, I don't know.
I can't wrap my brain around this.
You're going to have to ask him.
I want to do a separate episode with this dude, just him telling that story and having a Q&A session with me.
I've seen him tell this story. He would be only too happy to do that for you. So,
okay.
Yeah, you should ask him to do that. He'll say yes.
Okay, so this squeeze and squirt doll has a too big pee hole. Yeah. I am not. Are you kidding? I'm going to rearrange it to where we open with the pee hole story.
God.
That guy told me on stage. It's okay that it's
right.
on.
I just shouldn't. I
it's
shouldn't
fair game.
It's so gross. But anyway. All right. So then they go to the bathroom to clean the what is probably just clean water.
Yeah, that's all it is anyway.
So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Just wait for him to dry.
They run to the bathroom.
And he has to go to a stall for some reason. I don't know what that's about. But while Screech is in the stall, Zach sees this homeless man,
mm-hmm.
right? Who is who's going through the payphones for change.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the sinks to shave because he's a proud man.
Right,
you know
right.
I mean? Doesn't have a home and he already has a beard, but he wants
but
to
he
make
wants
sure the edges of the beard are super tight. Right? So he's and he's got shaving cream and a razor. So already I don't know about his priorities. I feel like that is money that could go
he's
to a home fund.
His beard
right?
Tight.
But he's got like if shaving is his priority, why have a beard at all?
Totally.
So he's doing that and Screech doesn't know what the fuck's going on because he is a genius who also has no idea what's going on in the world.
Well, that my favorite part of this whole scene though is that the guy sees the homeless guy sees Screech totally wet and goes, hey, let me show you a trick. And like brings them over to the hand dryer. And their minds are like blown.
They're blown.
They're like, oh my God. And
yeah.
It's like,
oh my God. Air? Air makes you dry?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's
Plus,
incredible.
It's also like, did you guys not see Desperately Seeking Susan? Because Madonna invented this.
Yeah. Or just think about like wind and hair dryers and things.
Yeah.
I also love that in that moment, Screech is like, oh, Zach won't be seen in public with me like this. Like that is how he won't be seen in public with you? Have you seen the rest of you at all times?
Constantly.
Look at you.
Yes, look at you.
Like now that you're like slightly moistened.
Yes.
Like that's the last straw. That's
exactly. Fucked. Exactly.
Okay, so they talk with this guy who, by the way, is dizzy and clutching the kitchen sink so that he doesn't fall down.
And let's say this. When the guy walks in, he just looks like a dad. He looks like any dad USA.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you would never
clean as a whistle.
Yeah. Wearing a cardigan.
Yep. Yeah.
Just a standard issue
Hardy,
dad.
Robust.
You wouldn't look at him and go, oh, that guy's going to faint. He's sickly.
No.
He's whatever.
No, like, his coloring is perfect.
You just, hey, there's somebody's dad.
There's some guy.
Yeah.
There's some guy. And then it's like, oh, then we find, okay, so we find out he's homeless. And then Zach is like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he goes back to the little change thing in the payphone and stuffs a couple bucks in there. And then he's like, hey, guy.
I got you.
I think there's some money in those. And he's like, and the guy's like, no, I checked, there isn't. He goes, hey, you better check again. And it's like, and it's in the moment, and I don't blame Mark Paul Gosselaar for this. He does not know how to play that moment at all. Because that is not like, although I guess Zach has a good streak or whatever, like the show doesn't know how to play the moment. So he doesn't know how to play the moment. And it's like, and it can't help but come off as like self-righteous.
Oh, completely.
And, yeah.
Like they never, it's kind of that way for all the kids. But yeah, especially Zach, because I mean, obviously his character is supposed to be like, the troublemaker, but with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But the times he has a heart of gold, it's just so smug. It comes across so smug that you're like,
yeah,
thanks, I guess. Yeah, totally.
Right.
And I do have to say, in this, another favorite part of the scene for me is that, because when they spot him shaving, that's when Zach, you know, puts two and two together and is like, oh, yeah, I think this guy's homeless. And then Screech, like, doesn't understand the concept of homelessness.
He has never heard
like,
of homelessness.
Like, he says several times, like, well, why doesn't he go home and do that kind of thing? And, and Zach's like, because I'm telling you, he doesn't have a home.
Yeah.
And Screech would be like, he could just eat at home.
Why
no, he doesn't
he
have
get
a home.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. He just doesn't understand at all.
It's like the concept of homelessness is something he can't wrap his mind around.
Have you listened to the radio lately?
Yeah.
Have you heard a song called Another Day in Paradise?
Any of these jams.
For God's sake.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so then, so
the guy goes over, takes the money, and is like, thanks, kid.
Right. And then Zach, of course, immediately goes to Tiffany Amber Thiessen's store
To
brag about his good deed.
Of course.
Basically.
Of course, but
and,
also try to find his new love.
Also, he's searching high and low for Laura, who, it turns out, works at the store, the men's store, with, is that Kelly? I always forget. Is that Kelly or Jesse?
No, it's Kelly.
Kelly.
And this is another thing. The timeline is cloudy on this because they only, I think, still recently-ish broke up. And so when he goes, he's like, hey, Kelly, I'm looking for Laura. And she comes out and she's like, yeah, totally. Laura's great. And he goes to talk to her. Kelly is like helping him get a date with her, which is just an interesting dynamic because like y'all are still teenage, like teenagers aren't evolved enough to be like, I'm going to help my recent ex-boyfriend date another person that
this
I work
just,
with.
Yeah. This just underscores the fact that they're all sociopaths.
Yeah.
They don't understand human emotion. They don't feel human emotion. They can only like sort of play act at human emotion.
Yeah, yes. I think this is what a human would do.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what's going on.
So Kelly like weirdly helps him do that.
Helps him do that. And then they... And then they, you know, they talk about the wonderful thing that Zach did by like putting a couple of, by like not even giving the guy a couple of bucks and like making it a human moment between two people.
Totally.
It's like, here, why don't you go
fish
that
for
machine
it.
For change again because I put money in that machine for you.
Yes.
So he does that. And then he's like, God, I just hope that he spends it on food or whatever.
Right.
And Laura's like, what do you mean? He's like, you never know with these homeless people. They could spend it on booze or whatever.
Yes. Well, he says
he
could be a wino.
He could be a wino!
Which I totally wrote down because I'm like, are you from the 20s?
A wino.
And that is something my Nana says.
Could be a wino.
Yes, a wino.
He
might be a wino. And then that's when Laura's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. So she's easily offended and frail and she runs off. Although he's got a point.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a point. You do not know where the money is going. I'm a softie, and I give it left and right,
right.
But like, I know that 80% of the time, it's going to
but
the liquor store.
But my thing with that, I'm with her on this because I totally do too. I absolutely 100% of the time give homeless people money.
Uh-huh.
Because, and I've had people be like, what if they just spend it on drugs or whatever? I'm like, well, they, so what? I'm going to spend it on Taco Bell. It's not any better for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm almost like, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If I was homeless, I'd be like getting high all the time because it's a fucking bummer.
Yeah. It's a bummer and it will make you less hungry.
Yeah.
A lot of drugs,
so I'm
right?
like, obviously I'm not like pro drug use or addiction or alcoholism or whatever, but I am just like, hey, what people do with money is their own business.
Right. Even if it's 99% of the time.
Yeah.
It goes to buy crack or meth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like one time in 100, it doesn't.
Right.
And it, like
exactly.
It goes to some food.
Exactly.
And like, you know, I don't know. I also, whatever. I always gave and I always try to. Okay. And this is because I read something somewhere. I don't remember where it was or what it was, but it was from somebody who used to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I remember from it was the thing that drives you crazy is not the lack of stability and it's not the lack of a place to go.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's not being hungry or whatever. It's the fact that like people don't look at you.
They don't even
like
acknowledge you.
So you just, you cannot connect with another human being except other homeless people.
Right.
And it makes you like, it starts to make you crazy. You feel like you're fading away. And I was like that for whatever reason, for a very good reason, stuck with me. And so like, even if I can't give money, which I try to give give something.
Yeah,
I was at least
trying
to make eye contact or whatever.
Totally.
Because like, but I also know that like a lot of the people are either mentally ill or on drugs or whatever.
Right.
But like, you just have to, you know, even if it's like flushing it down the toilet, 99% of the time, one time it isn't.
Right.
1% of the time it isn't.
I fully agree with you.
We have gone off on a Phil Collins tangent.
I know we totally have, but I agree with you because that attitude always did bother me. Because again, I'm not trying to enable anybody's addiction, but it's just that judgment. I just hate that judgment of like, well, they're probably going to, and it's like, well, fucking rich people spend their money on trash. Like, why is the judgment?
Yeah.
People can do what they want. If I want to give somebody money, it's none of my business what they do with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to judge them for that.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just hate that so much.
And to have to ask somebody else for that kind of help must be so horrifying.
Totally.
And like, you must have to dig so deep for it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't just like pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. I'm fully on board with you.
Okay. So on, like, let's change gears completely.
Yeah, so that...
Every fucking color in this show is hideous.
Yeah.
Every color in the color palette of this show is unnatural and hideous. Everything. There was a moment when I was looking at the screen and it was like every color on every stitch of clothing,
right.
Every color on every follicle of hair.
Yes.
Literally everything is wrong. Everything
right.
is so
and it's lit.
Disgusting.
It's so weirdly lit.
It's terribly lit.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Okay. So we come back.
Yeah.
And I guess he has convinced this Laura girl that he is worthwhile.
Well, no, the next scene is they're at the food court.
They're at the food court.
And he's like telling them how he dissed her.
Right. And
that's when
Slater
she...
thinks it's a real gas. That,
yeah,
like,
of course.
You know, that she dumped him before they even had a date.
Right.
That must be some kind of record.
And then she walks up with Kelly.
Right.
And then that's when they all kind of try to help him. Like, they all just go, come on, Laura, Zach's a cool dude or whatever.
Right. She just believes them.
Yeah. And then so he apologizes. And I wrote this down because I loved this because he's like, I'm sorry if I offend you. I don't know much about the homeless people.
The homeless people.
And I wrote that down because they're a race
yeah.
of humans.
Yeah,
like
they're
the homeless
the gypsies.
Race. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's like, but I do give them, this is the one glimpse. No one on this show knows what the concept of like white privilege is
no.
or anything like that,
no.
of course. But
no.
this is kind of a glimpse. Like Zach almost does because he says, right. I don't know a lot about the homeless people. He says, where I come from,
mm-hmm.
a family is poor if they don't have cable.
That's right.
And that's a pretty conscious.
It is.
It's like a glimmer of hope.
It is. But the truck pulls over immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he does
right.
not go any
right.
further down that road. It's
of
not
course.
Even like. God, you know, like that makes me think I should, you know,
right.
open my mind.
Yeah, yeah, no, not
can't
at all.
Wait to get out here and go to college and
right.
like, you know,
no, it's
expand
only,
my horizons.
It is nope. a glimmer of hope, but only used to get into the pants of this girl.
Only used to get
into
the pants
only
of this girl.
Thing.
Who and then also the writers prove that they are just as shitty and desperate
mm-hmm.
and sociopathic. Because they sit down and start eating, which I don't recall. I don't remember whether Zach was sitting at that table when we came back
no,
from break or whether he comes and he sits down there. But there's food,
food
at
there.
The table
yes.
that they both start eating.
They just
so,
start eating it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it could be argued that that is Slater's food and therefore his food.
Right.
Because they're in this sort of weird
yeah.
collective. Right. But,
right.
but so they start eating and she's like, you know, because she just was about to have that apple, right?
Yes.
So she mimes taking a bite out of the apple,
uh-huh.
like the tiniest little nibble out of uh-huh. the apple, which the apple is undisturbed.
Yes.
Which is probably a continuity thing. But in my mind, I was like, oh, that's a homeless girl right there. She's going to make that apple last.
Oh, yes, yes.
But it was probably just because they had to shoot it a million times. It was continuity.
And they're like,
thing,
don't really
like,
mess
don't
it
fuck
up.
Up.
We
the
don't
apple.
Have a truck full of apples
yeah,
to waste
exactly,
on this
exactly.
scene. Yeah.
It's the hero apple.
Yeah.
So that's an industry term. Sorry. So she's like, so she has a chip. Like she's eyeing the chips hungrily. And then she has a chip. And then she's like, God, can I have another chip?
Yes.
And she just keeps eating. And they play it like a fucking joke. So
yes.
we're supposed to feel pity for this homeless girl. But also laugh at the fact that she's starving.
I wrote down in all caps, she's literally starving.
I wrote down, ha ha, she's starving.
Yes, not figuratively. She's literally
she's
starving to
literally
death.
Starving to death, and so is her dad.
And what a hilarious joke
That's,
that is.
Yeah, let's play that for laughs.
Because they do, so she eats all that, and then you see later on, like the next scene is her and Zach like walking down like the hallway of the mall or whatever, and she
yeah.
says something like, thank you for letting me eat your cheeseburger and your whatever and your whatever. Like, lists like four things that she ate for lunch. And so it is like, ha-ha, she hasn't eaten in a long time.
She's really, really starving. Yeah. Like, her body is deprived of nutrients. Yeah.
And so that's a funny joke.
Yeah. So then Zach is like, hey, let's go talk to Santa about what you want for Christmas. And she's like, yeah, crazy. Yeah. And they like go
that's
back
like
to
Amy
Santa.
That's like Amy Grant video shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's go kick puddles and, pet puppies and do fake fun couple
and yet,
stuff.
Nobody has a fraction of the charisma of the guy in the Amy Grant
video. The guy in the baby video.
Yeah.
Totally.
Who then made a return appearance in the Good For Me video.
Oh, he's like her go-to fake boyfriend?
Two videos.
Oh, those two. Yeah, but they had the exact same theme. And you know, when I watched those as a kid, I got to tell you, I was like, oh, that's what love is.
Sure.
That's when you're in love, you do those things.
Yeah. You put your hat real low on your head and you do a duck walk.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And you guys like I said, you like kick puddles together and all that. And then so when I grew up and never did any of those things with boyfriends, I was like, oh, I guess I've never known love.
Yeah. You know, to a degree, I think I'm still, I still probably hold on to that belief somewhere deep inside. So they're crazy.
Go see Santa
and
with
they go,
all the kids.
And they cut in front of children.
Yes, which is not a solid move.
No, not at all. Which another thing, like you don't want it to be like just a moment where it's like, hey, suddenly there are no kids here, or whatever.
Right.
Like,
they cut in front of kids, but this does provide one of my favorite jokes in the ep that I really genuinely laughed at.
Yeah, you really enjoyed this.
Is when a kid comes back. This kid who earlier like stomped on Jesse's foot comes back and she's like, hey kid, what'd you come back for? And he's like, I came to apologize. My mom made me apologize. And she goes, oh, that's really nice of you. And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry I stepped on your foot, you ugly old bag.
You ugly old bag.
He literally
to a girl
says
who's
those words.
17 years old.
She's 17 years old.
Who is like 3 years away from starring in Showgirls.
In Showgirls and being professionally hot.
Yeah.
But also, this kid is like six. Like, what? That's an insult my granddaddy would say to somebody. Like, you
ugly
old bag.
Old bag.
Yeah.
She's none of those things.
Yes. So
none of those things.
That was remarkable that a grandpa was reincarnated in this kid.
Yeah.
And yells that at Jesse. So I like that. That was
like,
for me.
Yeah, that, I'm trying to imagine the writer's room. Or is that just something they come up with on the spot?
That's something I guarantee you one of those writers has said to their wife.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah, because he's 61 years old.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he's like, this bitch won't quit talking, this
ugly
old ugly bag.
Ugly old bag.
Yeah.
Okay, so Zach and Laura go to sit on Santa's lap and get their picture taken and whatever.
And he creepily says to Santa, she's 17 and she's been a good girl all year.
She's been a good girl all year, which
creepy.
He has no way of knowing.
Yes.
Because he just met her.
Super creepy.
And so then Laura leans in to whisper to Santa what she wants, and Santa's face goes white.
Yes.
And he says, oh, well, I don't know if I can give that to you.
Yes.
But
which
whatever. And I don't know how he resolves it. But like, that is a Santa foul.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No matter if
you just
if
someone, say yeah, I got
yeah,
it.
Because clearly she's asking for a home.
Yes.
So
let's be honest, it's a bit of a lost in translation moment. We'll never know what she wants.
We'll never know
Santa.
For sure what she wants.
But I can
it
almost
could have been something else. It could have been.
I can guarantee you, it's like buy my dad a house or get my dad a job, something like that.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like Santa goes, ooh, can't help you out. Like it's
you don't
like
offer
any
a moment of reassurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like hey, yeah. No, I mean,
like you pretend
like
you're
he's the actual Santa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like you pretend you're going to get all these kids, whatever, trains, Nintendos, whatever. But this, you can't just go, oh, yeah, I'll totally do that for the sake of this girl.
Yeah.
Like,
or just
comfort.
Offer some words of support or comfort or anything.
Yeah. But no, Santa's like, tough nuts, lady.
Yeah. Oh, they
sucks
do
for
that.
You.
Okay. Okay. And then what happens after this is my favorite moment of the entire thing. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
They, she gets off Santa's lap. She's visibly a little bit shaken.
Yeah.
Right. Jesse pulls the picture out because they got their picture taken and shows it to Laura. And as Laura like holds the picture up to her face to look at it,
mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I had a second where I thought she was going to drop the picture to the ground and run away. And Zach was going to pick it up and be like, she doesn't show up in this picture. Because like they're treating homeless people like they're aliens or vampires or both.
Yes.
So it was like is homelessness so fucked up in this world that
totally,
she would
that
like
she doesn't even really exist.
Yeah, it's yeah,
like
yeah.
An M. Night twist of like
That's like amazing. And then it was like, oh no, homeless people aren't vampires. She would have shown up in the picture and she just looks at the picture and cherishes it.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That is so great.
Okay.
Yeah, so she well, after that, though, after they get the picture, Zach's mom shows up.
Right.
And he introduces her to his mom, which is that's a big step. I've been in relationships where, like, that doesn't happen for a solid year.
Yeah.
that we've been
together.
But
if you were to bump into the guy's mom,
yeah,
she wouldn't.
But
he
so obviously is like, yeah, like super like, I'm into this chick, mom.
Right.
And so that's weird. And then the mom goes, you know, hey, why don't you, we're doing a Christmas Carol play in the mall.
Yeah. Like,
I have
today
so many
tomorrow,
questions about this.
Why don't you be in it?
Why don't you be in it? So, okay. I assume this has happened in some malls at some point. Like, I assume this is a thing that does happen, okay?
Yeah.
Who is in charge of it?
Who's in charge of it?
Who casts it?
Yeah. How can
who
you just
runs
like,
it?
You and I do shows, right?
Yeah.
Like, would you ever, like, even an improv show?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, I have an improv show tomorrow night. Come be in it.
Yes.
Like, that's not something that you say
just
to somebody, especially
it.
When it's like the next day.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, and
this is a play where you have to learn lines.
You have to learn lines. There are roles.
Yes.
There are parts. Yeah. I could just like, hey, come be in it. Be one of the ghosts.
Yeah.
You'll need a costume. You'll
yes.
need to learn all your lines.
Yes.
You'll need to learn the blocking.
Yes.
You'll probably need to sell a handful of tickets to your friends.
Yes.
Like, there's
a
lot
play.
That goes into it.
Yes. All
there's
of
a
that,
lot that goes into
all
it.
All of that.
Yeah.
Yes. And who, it's at the mall.
Where in the mall?
Where in the mall? Who do you, who decides, is there like a mall committee where you go to
yeah.
them and you're like, can I produce a play
yeah.
on mall property?
Yeah, and also like around, you know, when there's like a choir or a dance troupe or whatever
yeah.
at around Christmas time in a mall
yeah.
or an airport, that I understand.
Yeah.
Because you're coming in, you're coming out, there's no arc to it. It's not
yeah.
like, oh, you know, it's not like, oh, okay, oh, there's a Christmas Carol going on while I'm on the way to gate 24.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I missed the first 5 minutes. I'm
yes.
not going to stay and watch
you
the rest
you
of it.
Sit and watch the thing. Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh, like, oh, I got some time to watch this whole play, but I missed the beginning. What's
right.
happening?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's things that you can dip into and out of.
Right.
That you would,
and yeah. I do know that there's like, I
the people who run the show have no idea what the way the world
no,
works.
No, not at all. Because I think when I was growing up at our mall, they would have like carolers or they, like you said, like dancers, something like that. And you're right. It's things you can walk in and out of and you don't sit and watch the whole time.
Right.
But I also feel like they were either fun. They were like school things. Like a school would go,
yes.
hey, can my school do this?
Yes.
And this just sounds like it's like Zach and his friends fucking around. Like they were just like, hey, just me and some friends. Can we just like put on a play at the mall?
Yeah, we'll
the
call
mall
it Christmas
would be
Carol.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Are you a part of a school board?
Yeah, you don't
or...
get to do everything you want.
Yeah, and only your friends are going to be in it? Like, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
Yeah,
I appreciate that you're Zach Morris, but there's a way that things
work. Yes, we've
work
heard
at the
of
mall.
You, Zach Morris.
Yeah, there's a chain of command at the mall.
Yes, yes.
You can't just show up and do your fake A Christmas Carol
yes.
show.
Yes. So I have all the same questions
Jesus
you do.
Jesus Christ.
And also, yeah, you're right. Like, his mom's just like, yeah, just be in it. You're
right.
just in it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
she's, but she just got this job, which by the way, Kelly also just got this job.
Yeah.
So she is afraid of asking for time off and whatever.
Right.
Which
I have to say one more thing about the exchange while Zach's mom is there,
mm-hmm.
because when she, so Laura walks off
right.
and Zach's mom goes, hey, do you know what you want for Christmas? Like
uh-huh.
while I'm here shopping.
Yeah.
And Zach looks at Laura and goes, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which
so
is
it's Laura. He wants Laura.
Super gross.
It's
again.
Real gross. It's
you
real
just
gross.
Told your mom, mom, for Christmas I want to fuck this girl. That's your mom.
Well, yes, but yes and no. And again, it's like it's the crux of Saved by the Bell, where it's like he wants her, but for this ill-defined asexual
yes.
Riverdale kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
I think
this
so.
Weird sexless world.
Sometimes, I mean, like, yes, because they never actually talk about fucking.
Right.
But also, you know, there are comments. They make such weird comment, like the comment earlier, you know, where he tells Slater, like, that's not what I've heard from
that's
other
not what
girls.
I heard from girls. Yeah, so something happens, but
so
what
like
happens is
stuff.
A child's understanding of sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
just
mean,
like
he
something.
Probably means like a hand job. He's probably like, I want a hand job.
No, not even
her.
That. I think it truly is like, and I think this is the weird line in the show walks, is like, it's like they're definitely alluding to something, but it's like a 7-year-old's understanding of
sure,
sex.
Sure, sure.
Where it's, you know what I mean? Where it's like people just sort
people
of.
People rolling around under the covers.
They rub
that's
noses or something.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like just some.
I feel like when I was that age, that's what I thought sex was like. Two people get under the covers and roll around.
Right.
And then that's sex.
That's what that is.
And then the kid comes.
Why would anyone ever want to do that?
Yeah.
But
yeah, so he just weirdly says that to his mom. Like,
yeah,
mom, I want her.
Yeah, I
want
to do this weird
yeah.
whatever.
And that's gross.
Bayside sex thing with her.
All right, the next scene is one that you love too, where Lisa goes to get her gift from
yeah,
Slater.
Yeah, Lisa's got a gift. that she needs to get wrapped. So she takes it to Slater, and he's having trouble, and he's got fucking scotch tape on his nose, and it's just a mess.
Oh, right? It's crazy.
But then he finally figures out the gist of the bow, and he puts his finger on it, and she tightens the bow, and then she goes to pull the thing away, and what do you know? His finger is still caught in the bow, which anybody who's ever walked past a television where this show was playing knew that his finger was going to still be in the bow. This is a world where that kind of bullshit is happening all the time. So if you live in a world where that kind of bullshit is happening all the time, get your goddamn finger out of the bow.
Who needs... If you're a 17-year-old dude, you know how to tie your shoes.
Yeah.
So you would apply the same principles. The
same basic principles.
To the bow.
Or you'd be able to feel what... It feels like to have the tip of your finger in a bow.
Yeah.
Like you would be like, hold on, before you yank that away, this is so tight that my entire body will literally come with it if you pull the thing. Like you would feel that on the tip of your finger. You would feel that.
That's true.
It was everything. I just feel like everything was written in a big hurry. You know what I mean? Like the whole season was written in the course of a weekend.
Of course. Because they were like, we got to go get drunk. Yeah. Like, let's get this done.
Yeah.
We got to go get some bourbon.
They're winos. Mr. Homeless comes by.
Oh, yeah. Because
I decided that their name is, she's Mr. Laura Homeless. Miss Homeless, yeah. And he's Mr. Homeless. And for whatever reason, Slater decides to give him some gift wrap and scotch tape.
Oh, yeah, because he comes by and, right. Mr. Homeless comes by and is like, hey, can I have the scraps? Yeah. And then Slater's like, hey, I'll do you solid.
Yeah.
Here's a whole roll of wrapping paper and tape or whatever. So he's like, thanks.
Right.
And then he walks off 2 feet away.
Maybe 2 feet? Generously 5 feet away.
Yeah. And faints.
Yeah.
And then that's...
After holding on to the gift wrapping counter.
Yes,
for support,
of course.
Which somehow Slater doesn't notice.
Yeah.
So then he takes 3 steps away and Slater and Zach come, and Screech and Zach come back.
Yeah.
And like.
Because Slater's off his shift, so he comes from around the counter.
Yeah. And so they're like, there's a commotion.
Yes.
And it's like, what happened? Hey. And for a long moment, they're like, what's going on?
They're
what happened? What's going on over there? And then like, there's the wide shot and in front of them.
Yes.
Like they could kick him without moving.
They're all squinting, and Slater goes, "I think someone fell."
Someone fell, and there's like 20 adults.
Yes.
But the 3 children come around, and they're like, "Get out of the way, everyone! Out of the way, adults and doctors!"
Yes.
Like it's 3 17-year-olds, one of whom can't do shit. Like one of whom is Screech.
If anything, Screech is going to kill him.
If anything, Screech is going to set the guy on fire.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yes.
Slater with his lifeguard training. There's a paramedic who has a mouth guard so that their mouths don't have to touch each other, but who won't take over the rest of the CPR.
Out of the way.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a licensed professional, I'm a paramedic.
This is what I do.
Yes. I have all of the essential supplies.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hand them to you.
Yeah, you are a child.
You teenagers take care. I'm gonna sit on the sidelines while you three
teenagers.
You're a
teenagers. Child who can't gift wrap a present.
Yes.
You can't gift wrap a present.
Minutes earlier had your finger stuck in a bow.
In a bow.
I'm gonna let you save this guy's life.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah. So he's passed out because he's hungry, but he needs CPR.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's some pretty severe malnutrition for a guy.
Wait, don't you only need CPR? Isn't that when you're like choking on something?
No, that's when you like your heart has stopped.
Oh,
basically,
oh,
right?
Okay. I'm thinking of the Heimlich. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, the Heimlich is when you're standing and your face is blue and you got something.
Okay. Right. So if you need CPR.
You're not breathing.
What kind of would hunger lead to your heart stopping? Hunger,
I think it would lead to you being skinnier and frailer than that. I think there are stops along the way.
Like how long would you have to go without eating a single damn thing before your just heart straight up stops?
I don't know. And I don't know what he's doing when he's not in the mall.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know what kind of exercise he's getting.
Well, and he's also, I mean, like, I'm more worried. I'd rather spare money I give to somebody be spent on drugs than shaving cream.
Yeah.
He's spending all of his dollars
on
shaving
cream. And blades.
And
disposables.
Mach 10s.
Yeah. And that shit ain't cheap, let me tell you. That's why I don't shave anymore.
Razors are like the most expensive thing at the drugstore.
So
they're even on lockdown
expensive.
Because they're so expensive.
And you have a beard.
Yes.
And you have a beard. So is it that important that you keep the edges that tidy? That you're spending your food money, that you're so starving, that you're about to stop breathing.
But you're like...
And you have like a daughter who's still 17, who's still like a minor. You'd be leaving her alone. She would be a ward of the state if you died. You're spending money on razors and shaving cream when there's a fucking soap dispenser. I have shaved with a soap dispenser on sets because I didn't, because I forgot to bring shaving cream.
Right.
Like, you can fucking do it.
Yeah.
It might hurt. It might burn.
Right.
You can fucking do it.
But it doesn't burn like the hunger in your belly.
I feel like maybe his priorities are out of whack. All right.
He's got that tight ass beard.
Oh, it's a beautiful beard though. The edges of that beard, nothing better. Nothing better. It'll help him get a job for sure. All right. So then I guess we go to commercial.
Right.
We take it on faith that he is that he's going to be fine.
Oh yeah, yeah,
we go to commercial.
Yeah. After the teenagers save his life.
Right. So then we go back to the men's store, which is owned or managed or both by Mr. Moody.
Of course, his name's Mr. Moody.
Mr. Moody.
I mean, that is again it's a cartoonish move.
Yeah. But so, like, somebody like him would be great. It would be great if Kelly had this, and maybe she does, had this job kind of for a long time,
right?
So that we would see this kind of person, because we need a break from the main six people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We need somebody else to, like, we need a Gunther.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally. But I mean, of course he's only in this episode, but I do have to say this scene opens when they are back in the men's store and Laura is like daydreaming. She's like staring at that Polaroid of her and Zach daydreaming.
She's basically reenacting like a Kathy cartoon of
daydreaming. Oh my God, totally.
Yeah.
Like just staring up like, oh, Zach.
Yeah.
And that's when Kelly comes over and again is like super nice about it. She's like, oh, are you thinking about Zach again?
Yeah.
And not weird. Like... Yeah, you know, I dated him for, like, years.
Yeah, and I'm 17.
Yeah, like, she's just so remarkably cool about
it.
Yeah, like,
I'm so sophisticated that this just rolls off
my back. Yeah, that I'm so over this. Yeah. And I mean, even in adult land, you'd be like, yeah, he's pretty cool, right? I should know because I was in love with him for most of my adolescence or whatever. But
if you're 17, boy or girl, you would just react to it by crying.
Yeah,
by, like, going into the bathroom and crying.
Yes! You would not just be like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Yeah. You'd be like... Yeah, he's really nice, isn't he? I remember.
These are not normal.
Yeah, people. So she's like, yeah, thinking about Zach, and she's like, of course, he's great. I wish I could get time off. And that's when Mr. Moody comes up and is just the caricature of a grumpy dude.
Right.
You know?
And is telegraphing the whole Scrooge thing, because they're talking about a Christmas carol, and he's like, no, you can't have time off. You have to work.
Yes.
Right? And then he leaves, and she's Kelly's like, talk about a Scrooge.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, we got that.
Yes.
We got
that. You don't need to spell it out.
We got that. It's Christmas time. We got it. I also love that she was like, Laura was just talking about Santa Claus. The big fat man in the red suit, he's got a cholesterol problem.
The fake dude who doesn't exist has a cholesterol problem.
Yeah, like, okay, but you know, the guy who played Mr. Moody is swinging for the fences.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Completely.
Yeah.
Nailing it.
He wants a recurring part.
He
wants a recurring
grump.
Part. Okay, so then we go to the children's hospital, right?
Yes.
Lisa has been volunteering. Mm-hmm. And what I love about the children's hospital is that there are no sick children in the children's hospital. There are just children who have, like, minor injuries.
Exactly.
There's, like, a girl sort of limping on crutches.
Yes.
Not a girl in, like, braces on crutches.
No.
That would indicate some sort of chronic problem.
Yes.
Like a girl with her ankle up on crutches.
Just maybe,
like,
sprained her ankle.
Sprained her ankle. You don't have to stay in a children's hospital if you sprained your ankle. They'll send you home that day.
And there's also a kid in a neck brace.
There's a kid in a neck brace. I'm sure he's fine. He can go home.
I mean, I guess to their credit, I guess it would probably be too grim.
Right.
If it's like, oh, here's a kid dying of cancer, like a bald kid in a wheelchair where you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's the only...
Yeah, you don't want to bring in real sick kids.
Yeah.
This,
but like, but you are right. Like, they're all running around and they're all like... mild, it's more like mildly inconvenienced kids.
Yeah.
That's the wing of the hospital, the mildly inconvenienced wing.
The outpatient wing of the children's hospital.
Yes.
And they all come in and they're all dressed up in exquisite costumes.
Oh, I do have to say about the kids though, you're right. You would note, maybe it's, why are none of their parents, if you're just in a neck brace, like your parents can come hang out with you. They're not like quarantined.
No.
Are they like orphan kids with broken legs?
I don't know.
Because there are no parents
this. No grown-ups. A couple of doctors.
Because even if you are, if you have something terminal, like, your damn parents are going to come see you. They'll come see you constantly, but especially at Christmas.
They're not going to leave you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, she's got a sprained ankle. Let's leave her in the hospital for a couple of weeks till it heals.
During,
I don't want her in the house.
During Christmas. I don't want her bringing that home. Like, what?
We'll all end up with sprained ankles.
It's contagious.
God damn it. This show makes me mad.
So there are zero parents around.
Zero parents.
But they don't mention that. So maybe.
Zero, seriously.
It's a stretch,
children.
But like maybe it's like they're orphan kids with mild medical problems.
Yeah.
So
either way, we have questions.
Yes.
Okay. So.
So you're right. The crew comes in.
The crew comes in. Just the six of them.
Yeah.
Again, like no other people, no other friends,
no,
nobody outside
never,
the group.
Never allowed.
In costumes that really are excellent, like that are like, you know,
yeah,
sitcom quality,
oh,
costumes.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. Like Zach is Santa, of course.
Right.
Kelly is Mrs. Claus. Mm-hmm. Although then Slater, as an elf, is
right.
wearing a muscle tee.
He's wearing an elf muscle tee. just like a regular elf.
Phrase.
Just like a regular elf.
An elf muscle tee.
An elf muscle tee. So yeah, this is a guy who
works
all the time in North
Pole. You know how those elves want to show off their guns?
Always, always. Don't want to dress for warmth. You want to dress just to show off the hard work you've been doing in the gym, in the aerobics room. They go and they sing and there's really no point for any of this to be happening at all.
Right, right.
Except that Monique, who is another person who we could stand more of, she's like a nurse or an orderly or a whatever, points and she's kinda hotsy totsy and
she's
boy
like
crazy.
Sassy. I think she actually was in the episode where Zach had knee surgery.
Oh really?
So I think she's like
that
a permanent
I wrote, we need
nurse.
More Monique.
Yeah.
I like her perspective. We need more of her. She's a believable human being. They're like, we're looking for a man. It's like, me too, but everyone here is married or sick.
Yeah, but I love Lisa saying that. She goes, we're looking for a man. It's the same as like, I work at the men's store. It's
right.
like, I'm looking for a man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any more details?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I'm looking for a guy with the edges of his beard are well defined.
I'm looking for
and
the guy
he's starving.
With the tightest, most well-kept beard in the hospital.
The area between beard and skin, it's like, it is a hard border. It's a hard...
It would be great if that... Monique
should have been
like,
border.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I was amazed by...
Yep.
I've never seen a beard so tight.
I love men.
Yeah.
This guy did not appear to be married.
Yes.
She did say he was a little old for me and directs them all downstairs. And by the way, as they're leaving or as the scene ends or whatever, people start singing. And the girl who had the sprained ankle is standing on both of her feet.
Oh, she is.
She's standing on both of her feet.
They healed
so
her
there's a
miracle.
Christmas miracle that they just like totally slide right past.
I do remember seeing the kid in the neck brace being pretty jazzed, too.
Yeah.
Like grinning like, yeah,
sure.
my
sure.
neck is not hurting right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a Zach attack.
Yeah.
And then I stopped writing because I got annoyed.
Okay. Well, So Lisa goes, I'm looking for a man. Monique makes the joke, but then immediately goes, oh yeah, room, whatever.
Right.
Which I'm like, I'm pretty sure there are rules at a hospital.
Yeah. You can't just send strangers to someone's room.
You can't just send strangers to a stranger's room.
Right.
Like if I just show up and go, hey, can I just go to some person's room? They're not going to go, yeah, right this way.
Yeah.
Like there's protocol, I assume. I mean, this is a pre-9/11 world. Maybe they're a little more slack.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a guy who's about to testify in my trial, and I shot him earlier.
Yeah.
What room is he in?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to visit him and say hello.
Yeah.
there are rules in place for this kind of thing. But not in Bayside.
I just want to go
Bayside.
Say hello.
I just want to go and say hello and just work some things out.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay away from there. Stay away from that room.
Yeah. We're going to have a long talk.
Do you have
talk.
Any extra pillows?
Yes. But you're right. It's like they have no... Yeah, they wouldn't just show him right to the room, but they do. They're like, right this way.
Right.
He goes in. That's when they open the door. Laura's there comforting him.
Uh-huh.
And Zach's like, Laura, what are you doing here? Right. She's like, it's my father.
It's my father.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then everybody checks to make sure their wallet's still there.
Yeah. And then it just says, to be continued.
To be continued.
And that is the straight up cliffhanger of this.
God almighty.
Of this ep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many unanswered questions. And here's the thing. I know they won't actually ever be answered.
Yeah, of course.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Of course.
Because I want to know the important things.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's how it ends.
That's how it ends. I'm looking at the thumbnail for part two, and it looks like they really do act out that Christmas carol.
Yeah, so you can see already from the thumbnail they get Laura into the play.
Yeah.
But
she's wearing a wreath on her head. And fucking Screech is involved in it, and I don't know why you would do that.
Well, of course. But he does good accent work.
I
so this
wish.
Act, though, you had never seen this one before.
No, never had.
Yeah.
Never had.
It was a pretty remarkable one.
It was. It was really impressive. It was everything that is wrong about this show.
Of course. This is one of my...
And everything that's wrong with very special Christmas episodes.
Oh,
sorry,
totally.
To
of course. But yeah. Yeah, so that's it. And
there
then,
it is.
I have to say... Well, obviously the next episode is going to be Home for Christmas Part 2.
Uh-huh.
For those of you watching along.
Right.
I got a few notes. I have a new order that was sent to me by a lovely gent named Jan Michael, who...
Vincent?
If only.
Oh, my God. I bet it is.
Do you? I'll tell you this: a thing that I learned about him. What? He was, and I learned this when I used to work at MTV. Also, uh-huh.
Yeah,
like you.
Yeah,
and my friend Larry, who is the movies guy,
uh-huh.
told me that Jan Michael Vincent was one of the first people to have to call a doctor because of like a 4-hour Viagra boner. He was like one of the first people to take Viagra and like have that happen and have to call and be like, "Oh my god, my boner won't stop."
Wow.
So that's a trivia question about Jan Michael Vincent. But yeah, no, Jan Michael sent this order because I was going by Netflix. I've got 5 million orders, but he sent me one that he says is definitive, and I was looking at it, and it looks to be that way. So I'm going to go by this order from now on. So okay. I will announce the one I'm doing next because, yeah, Netflix order is really jacked, and Netflix put all the Tory episodes in one block instead of peppering them throughout like they should be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll keep you guys up to date on the next episodes I'm doing. Also, generous donations came in from these lovely people. Adam Ooh. O'Donnell, thank you very much. And my girl Deborah Schmoo, I'm going to say that instead of her real name. Thank you guys. If you guys want to donate, there's a button on the Tumblr. Yeah. No pressure though. And thank you.
My
for
pleasure.
Being here.
My pleasure.
And you're at Dave Holmes on Twitter.
I am.
And your Tumblr
Dave
is
DaveHolmes.tumblr.com. Yeah.
And anything else? You got mad stuff going on.
I do. I'm doing this fun column for Vulture, but I always link to it on Twitter. So.
Oh, and I will say for you, I think I told you this via email anyway, but the first, you know, quote unquote famous person sighting I had after moving here was like 3 days after I moved here, and I saw Jesse Camp. I saw him at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Getting into a purple spray painted car. Like the car was spray painted purple.
What year?
It was like an El Camino or something. I mean,
what year did you move
here? Oh, what year?
Yeah, like the car. That's not going to mean
I've lived here 8 years now.
Okay.
So it was 8 years ago. And it was him and some girl.
2006.
Stumbling out of the El Camino, purple El Camino at In-N-Out.
That tracks.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Do you ever like talk to him or anything?
No. Uh-uh.
Were you guys like bros?
No, I mean, we weren't not bros, but we weren't bros. I mean, what?
He seemed like a nice enough
hang
guy.
Out?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he was 18. So like anywhere that I would want to go, he couldn't go.
Right.
You know, and then anywhere he would want to go, I didn't want to go.
Well, of course.
You know, so we saw each other at work, and we would talk to the degree that you could have a conversation with the guy.
I was about to say, was he like that at all?
He was
times?
Like that at all times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was funny sometimes, but it was also like, you know, little went a long way.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? Very nice guy, but like,
yes.
You know.
But that wasn't
what are you
an
gonna
act.
Do?
That was no, him. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jesse.
Yep.
Hope you're well wherever you are.
Yeah, he's probably listening.
Yeah. He seems like he'd be into podcasts
absolutely.
In general
absolutely.
As a thing.
Sure.
He seems like he owns a computer.
Saved by the bell. Yeah. And an iPod.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, so the next episode, Home for Christmas Part 2.
Christmas Part 2.
Thanks for all the awesome emails I get and for all of you guys that leave nice iTunes reviews and comments. It's awesome. It helps me out. Everyone's nice. Thank you. And the Tumblr, as always, is gobayside.tumblr.com. And I will see you guys next week. Thanks.